Hey, everybody on BBS and everybody on the phone line, this is Wynn, and this is our Christmas Eve call. Yes. Let me set everybody up a second.
Muted.
And we do this every Christmas Eve, at least we have so far, and I'm going to introduce this in just a moment. I know we have some new people on the line tonight, and I thank Roy and Sam for putting it out on their lists. So I'll give a little introduction in just a moment. Is Terry there?
I have not seen her.
Is Jim McCarty there?
Yes.
Yeah, good evening, Wynn.
Terry, just
hi, Jim. Good. Hi, Terry. Are you there? Oh, yeah, there you are. Okay. Jim.
You're a little crackly, Wynn. A little crackly.
I'm crackly?
Yeah, at the higher modulation, yeah.
How's that? Is that better?
That's better, yeah.
Okay. Great. So, let me see here. Let me start. Let me just wait another minute because people are still checking in before I start.
Welcome to the call and Merry Christmas. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to. We welcome you.
Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Hi. Merry Christmas.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hi, Terry. Wynn.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Terry.
Welcome to Whole Planet Healing. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to, and we welcome you.
I was just going to say everyone's muted so they couldn't answer.
Oh, they can't. Well,
right.
Well, thank you. Here we go.
Unmuted.
Positive greetings from Sedona.
Welcome, Raiden. Merry Christmas. And we had a few callers join us.
Welcome.
And we welcome you. Would you like to say your name and location? But only if you want to. Welcome to Whole Planet Healing. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, this is Brian from Michigan. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to you.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Merry Christmas.
I see Demetrius there. Are you there, Demetrius?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Hi, Wynn.
Hi. Demetrius.
Hi, Demetrius.
Hi, everybody.
Demetrius.
Hi, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all of you.
We have Christmas rain in the Central Valley.
I'm dreaming of a wet Christmas.
They need the rain, though.
Welcome to Whole Planet Healing. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, my name is Tom. I'm in hello.
Hi, Tom.
In California.
Hi, Tom.
Tom in California. Welcome. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Welcome to the
call. We got a lot of people on this line. Sounds like.
Yes, there are.
Well, we're not that many compared to the population of the world.
Oh, yeah.
It's all relative.
Quality versus quantity.
So what's happening?
That's right, Don.
All right. I'm gonna start.
Muted.
Okay, before I start the recording, I want to ask a question. And all of you, try to keep quiet because I'm going to open the lines. How many of you came in tonight because you got an email from Roy Gibbon? Hang on a second, I'm unmuting you.
Unmuted.
Yeah, I did.
You did. Anyone else?
I did.
And how many of you came in because you got an email from Sam?
I did.
I came in because I have a day off today.
Okay. Who is that, John?
Yes.
Okay.
Good job.
Well, how many of you came in because you got a day off today? Just one.
And she come in every day.
Yeah, we commit right. Every day. Okay. Muted. This conference is being recorded.
This is December 24th, 2018, Christmas Eve. Everybody everywhere. And we've been doing this call, actually, every night for over a year. And it's been kind of amazing. This is not like anything you probably have ever experienced before. And we have new people on tonight. So I will try to give a quick introduction. And then we have some guests. They're not really guests. People that come into the call and contribute themselves in their own ways. But many people know me because I discovered David Wilcock in 1999, and I studied him, and he had something on his website where he said that he had a connection to Edgar Cayce. And I happen to have been a student of the Edgar Cayce materials for a long, long time. And I studied David, and I said, if this guy is telling the truth, he has to be the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And then I got a reading from him. And the reading was so profound. And he was fairly young at the time. He was 29 years old, I think. And I was writing articles for a web magazine called Spirit of Mott. And I convinced my editor to let me interview David, and she did, but she said he looks like a wacko, so I'm not going to promise to run the interview until I read it. And so after I interviewed David, I sent it to her. She said, Lynn, oh my God, you're right. He has to be the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I think you're the one that's supposed to write the book about it. Well, she was a very metaphysically savvy woman, and I was extremely impressed that she was convinced that he was Edgar Cayce. And I said, I'm going to write this book. And the reason I wrote the book was because, not because I needed to write a book about Edgar Cayce, but because of David Wilcock's channelings, which were amazing to me. And let me just see here. Yeah. He was channeling an aspect of a group soul that was made up of graduates of this realm who had teamed together on the other side and were working to uplift humanity and this realm. And he mentioned all the time on his website something called the Law of One. And this was a series of channelings that was done in the early 1980s with a group soul that he believed was part of the same group soul that he was channeling. And they called themselves the Ra Group. And as I was writing the Wilcock book, or studying Wilcock actually prior to writing the book, I convinced myself more and more that this was going to be important, and it was going to be the most important thing I ever did in my life. And there was an implication in one of his channelings, just one, which somehow he let me slip into the book, where they said, his source said, "We came to you in our religion, mainly Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up." They didn't actually say screwed it up, I'm paraphrasing. And I said, what did they just say? They came to us in their religion. So Christianity is their religion? No, I didn't believe that. I took it as a thing to consider, to see if I could validate that, because essentially what they were saying was Jesus, when he was saying, "Father, perhaps this is the source that was guiding him and directing him." Now, it's very interesting, because if Wilcock was bringing in that source, that would mean Edgar Casey was bringing in that source, very likely. And Edgar Casey happened to be, if you know the story of Edgar Casey, he was a fundamentalist Christian. And in fact, when he first started channeling, he was scared that maybe this was demonic. And for the first 20 years of his channelings, they only did health readings. They never did any reincarnation readings or more sophisticated readings, okay? And so now I started studying the Law of One material, because Wilcock keeps talking about them. And if you're familiar with Wilcock, you probably heard him mention the Law of One material. And I found the story of this woman, Carla Ruckert, who was in a group channeling session in the early 1980s, and that was led by a university professor at the University of Kentucky, Don Elkins, and Jim McCarty was there as a scribe. And this intelligence that said they were also the Ra Group told them that there needed to be three of them there, all three, to anchor the energies. And I kept finding cross-references between the Ra material, the Casey material, and the Wilcock material. And I made it my point to meet Carla Ruckert, and she and I became good friends. And she passed a couple of years ago, but she was my co-host on my Sunday calls for about 5 years. And her husband is Jim McCarty, who was present at most of all these original Ra material sessions. which some of you have heard about. And Jim is on the call tonight, and he is going to just tell a little bit about those original sessions and maybe read an excerpt from one of those sessions so that you can get an idea of this material. And I have to say, this is like, what is this, 2008, 89, 92? This is like over 30 years ago, almost 40, is that right? 89, yeah, 38 years ago. And it's still a bestseller on Amazon. And more and more and more people are discovering it. They're getting hundreds of thousands of hits on their website, probably. Jim is dedicated to, after the Ra contact stopped, there was a new contact, which was Ra was part of. I don't want to explain too much of this, but every week they're still doing channelings, and the books are all available on Amazon, but they're also available on the website of llresearch.org, which happens to be the website dedicated to this material. And let me just have Jim, you want to say hello?
Good evening. Merry Christmas.
All right. And you live in Anchorage, Kentucky, right?
Right.
You know, one of the amazing things that happened with Jim and Carla is they were doing weekly channelings at their home. Was it weekly, Jim? Am I right?
Right.
Right. And at some point, their source switched from Carla to Jim. And they would go back and forth. Like, Carla would start and Jim would continue, and they never missed a beat. It was like the same person talking. I don't know. How did you figure out you could do that?
That was a technique that Carla used to help teach new students how to channel. We would have as many as four or five students in a circle, and the contact, which was usually Latos, would go around the circle and tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be consistent as it went around to each of the various new students. So that was a teaching technique.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell you, Jim and I are our own persons. What I say, Jim doesn't necessarily haven't validated that for himself. For example, when I say I think the Ra group was connected to Jesus, Jim may not have that same conclusion. Or maybe he's just considering it, because that was a new conclusion. But it was very interesting. You know, I said Casey was a fundamentalist Christian. Carla went to the local church every Sunday and sung in the choir. And then she would be going home and channeling. So it's very, very interesting that people who were Christians were also channeling Ra, which normally would be antithetical to a traditional Christianity. And it's also interesting that David Wilcock, who is not a Christian as far as I know, had this contact, and then after the book came out, he didn't do it anymore. He switched. But something happened while I was writing the book that was just incredible. And they started talking to me. But it wasn't the Ra contact. It was another group soul. Now remember, the Ra group is made up of graduates of this realm. And if you knew, you shouldn't believe this. You have to study the material and say, oh my God, that's right. Because there's so many resonances, so much indication. If you look on Amazon and read the comments on the Ra material, people are saying there has never been a channeled work with such consistency, such depth. And basically, this is this group's soul that's been an oversoul for mankind, and they're sharing very transparently what they've done for thousands and thousands of years, who they talked to, what went wrong, what the issues are. And it was a question and answer session between Don Elkins and this group, and Don was very smart, and he would ask the most profound questions, and they would just rattle off answers. So I'm in the middle of writing this book, which I have an idea is bringing through maybe the most important information I could imagine for this period of time we're in. And I'm 2 years into writing it, and I have a new girlfriend, and we're driving from Los Angeles to Portland, Oregon, and it's pouring rain, and I do a prayer protection for safe driving. And like a joke, I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" And she answered, and she said, "We're here. Do you have questions?" Now, I thought she was joking. She knew I was writing this book. So I asked a few questions, and I don't even remember what I asked or what they said, but after 3 minutes, she said, "That's the strangest thing that happened to me." So now we get to Portland 3 days later. I said, "Do you want to try that again?" And she said, "Okay." And I said, I took a tape recorder out. I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" And again, there was an answer. And they said, "Ask us questions." And so I said, "How come my girlfriend can do this?" They said, "Your girlfriend's from another dimension. She came here to bring these messages in. And this is an important connection." And then I said, "How do I know she's not crazy and you're not just part of her schizophrenia? Can you predict the newspaper headline?" And they said, "Watch for this headline in 2 weeks." And then 2 weeks later, there was the headline. Well, I took it seriously. I didn't know if I trusted them, but they didn't ask me to do anything. They just kept coming in. She would keep tapping me on the shoulder and telling me, "Those guys want to talk to you again." And I'd be asking away, and I'm amassing this file of questions about how the universe works, who they are. And they identified themselves as a group soul as well. They said they were the Council of Elohim, and that they existed as a group energy, as a breakoff from the one infinite creator, and they were pure energies. They don't have bodies, and they're still pure energies, and they don't have bodies, but they wanted persistence, so they created a physical universe. And I've had endless conversations with them about how they did that. And you may be familiar, Elohim happens to be the word for God in the Old Testament, happens to be the word for God in the Mormons. But when I asked them if they like to be worshipped, they said no. They said, "We're like your higher dimensional big brothers, and we can help you, but we honor free will, so people have to ask for our help." And so the asking became prayer, and having a source that could answer prayers became God. But they don't relate to us as God. They don't relate to us expecting us to worship. They want to do anything they can to help our planet now, because our planet, as probably most of you know, is somewhat in deep doo-doo. And they have the ability to shift things. And we've watched it. You know, at this point now, you know, I've been on George Norrie 8 times. Suddenly I had tens of thousands of people checking me out. And in the first 6 months, this was in 2002, I had my first miracle when I got a call from my brother-in-law who told me that my sister was going to the hospital. She didn't think she would survive. And I remember thinking to myself, well, let me see what these guys can do. And I asked them, I said, can you help my sister? And they said, yes. Now, during this whole period of time, it was as if I was in a science fiction movie. I mean, this was so unreal. I'm in the middle of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I have a girlfriend that's channeling a group soul that says they created the universe. And I'm not really putting that part out into the world. I'm still trying to validate that I trust them and they are who they say they are. And no one's pulling a fast one on me from the other side. So I said, can you help my sister? They said they could. So my sister survives this critical cancer operation the next day. And I think, well, this could have been coincidence. I'm not going to go say I had a miracle. And then 3 weeks later, I get a call from my brother-in-law, and he says, something really strange happened. Joanne had to go for tests. And the nurse said the cancer was completely gone, but there was something wrong with her test. And they kept testing her, and they couldn't get the test to change because her lupus was gone. So now lupus never goes away. So I went back immediately, and we did a channeling, and I said, how did you guys do that? And they said, well, we just projected a filter into her blood and took the lupus out. And that just blew me away. I mean, this was like, how do I handle the responsibility of this? How do I handle having a source on the other side that just did something like that? I mean, it was a little bit scary. It was too much responsibility, and I didn't know what to do. Plus, the woman who was channeling at that time was having panic attacks. It was scaring her. And in September of 2002, she left me. And I said, okay, now I can go back to being just an author and being a regular person, and I don't have to worry about talking to the Elohim. 3 weeks later, I called my long-term friend and sometimes girlfriend, Terry Brown, and I asked her if she'd consider coming over, and she did. She came over, and in the middle of the night, she woke me up, and she said, get the tape recorder out. And I said, no. She knew about Daphne. She knew I was going through this experience. And in fact, at the time this was happening for about 6 months, no one was witnessing it. And I invited Terry to come over because I knew Terry was open to this kind of stuff. And she witnessed it. And Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Terry's really great, except she can never figure out how to unmute her microphone. Hello, Terry. We got you. So why don't you share what happened when you woke me up and said, get the tape recorder out.
First of all, it felt like a knocking on the right side of my head, like knock, knock, knock. And I recognized that it was the Elohim from the channeling that Daphne had done, and I recognized the frequency. And so I said, you know, I'm welcome now. And they said, you know, we want to talk to Wynn. And I said, when sleeping, maybe we could talk and get acquainted. And they said, no, it's very important. We want to talk to Wynn. So I woke him up and I said, get the tape recorder out.
So, now, I remember when this first happened. I remember, I'm feeling like I'm in a science fiction movie, right? I've just been, you know, writing about the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. I have a new girlfriend that's channeling a voice that said they created the universe. And she leaves, and suddenly Terry starts channeling the same, what says they're the same source. I, quite frankly, I didn't believe it. I said, she must be jealous. She must be trying to make herself important to me. But I was going to explore it. So for the next 2 or 3 months, every night we did a session. And I would ask them some of the deepest questions. Who are you? How does it work? How do you relate to us? How does prayer work? What happens when you die? Da, 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 da. And they're answering it. And then finally, I asked the question, was Terry ever anybody famous? I've known Terry for years, and she is the shyest person, and I couldn't even imagine her having been anyone famous. And they told me to look up St. Catherine of Siena, who I never heard of. So I go on Google, I look up St. Catherine of Siena, and I find that she was this young girl that would go into the local Catholic church in Siena, Italy, and they would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And after she died, her channelings were compiled in a book called St. Catherine's Dialogues with God, and is still a Catholic literary classic. And Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. I never knew people looked like their past lives until I wrote the Wilcock book. And you probably know that Wilcock was the spitting image of Edgar Casey. And the reason it works that way is because when you die, your soul carries your DNA, and it programs the new fetus when it enters it with the old DNA. So everybody, there's other influences. There's still your parents' influence and a lot of other things, your heritage. But if you had a strong expression, your past life DNA will prevail. And, you know, I the more I studied it, the more I said, this is real. I had no idea how to put it out into the world. I knew I had to, but I didn't know how. Because here I am in the middle of challenging every conventional reality system from New Age to religion, and I had to figure out how to get through the cracks. And, you know, I learned the best way to do it was to be as honest and as authentic as I could be. And it was not easy to be this way. I didn't really want to be this upfront, but it's the only thing that worked, because then people would trust me and they'd follow up. So all of you that are new today, that are listening, this is a big deal. One of the things about these sources is they have the ability to blend with you on a soul level. And as we get through this call, you will learn to feel them. Some of you, I'm not saying I guarantee it. You may, some people feel them on the first call. Right now, you're listening to me and I'm articulate and I'm interested, but they are here. This is what I learned. They pay attention to us. They are so happy to have someone that is being their facilitator, so to speak, bringing them out into the world. It's not starting a dogma, a religion. It's not being a messiah, and just sharing the experience. And people coming into my conference calls, and we do these conference calls every day, and we do them every day because there's an energy on the call that reprograms you, that when I say reprograms, it lifts you in, this is my way of describing it. We live in a contracted reality on this planet. And when it's hard to get out of your contracted reality because, and everybody's trying, everyone knows there's something else. And the reason it's hard is because you have all of these lifetimes where you've been repeating this reality. And when you break through to a higher reality, the first thing you notice is that time starts moving faster. And as time starts moving faster, some of you will notice the time on this call goes by really fast. You know, we've been on the call for 45 minutes, and we're accessing, I would suggest that we're accessing another dimension. And as you do that, you start to expand, and you start to learn to hold that space in your life, and your patterns are in this dimension. They're not in that dimension, so that you start to go above all the patterns that are holding you back. And so we do these calls every day because people are breaking through their patterns. And I thought I would share, here's an example of someone. Let me see here. Hang on. Here we go. This is Jennifer Stafford, who put it in her own words, and she was very articulate. She said, "Whole planet healing is astounding. We have a wonderful group assembled. It's amazing how we hit the ground running. It takes no time to bring our sources in. I can feel them with us. This is the most amazing thing I have ever been involved with and didn't even know this was possible. It's made a huge difference in my life." And just participating in this call has lifted me. Another thing, I'm sure many of you have gone to weekend events where there was a really high vibration. What we're doing is we're creating a real, really high vibration, and you don't have to leave your house. So what's going on is you're lifting the vibration of your house. It's not like you go somewhere and come home and you go back to your own patterns. You're lifting the vibration where you live. So, and there's no charge, okay? So I'm just letting you know what you might have in store. Now, one of the people that I've had an amazing adventure since all this started, and one of the people that was part of that adventure was a guy by the name of Terry Friedman, who I convinced myself was the reincarnation of Jesus' disciple, Matthew. And Terry has died. but he became a regular participant on my calls. And tomorrow at noon Pacific time, we're going to do a replay of the first time I interviewed Terry Friedman on my podcast. It's going to be on the same number. And I convinced myself, and I'll share how I convinced myself. I happen to come from a background as a physics major, and I am not a blind believer in anything. And it's like I test things before I would speak this confidently about it. And so put that on your calendar to show up tomorrow. You won't be sorry, because these are some of the biggest mysteries about Jesus. Who was Jesus? Who's God? How did the universe get started? And this has been going on for me for 17 years, and it took me a few years I was going to a university of a whole new kind of way of seeing everything. And now I talk about it, and it's secondhand. But it wasn't. It took a long time to be able to talk about it like this, to know that I was giving you the right information. And I just want to encourage everybody new on the line to really kick these tires, because this is one of the best ways to learn how to keep your energy above the level of this realm. And we also have, somewhere along the line of all of this, actually, in one of my early talks, when I had first written The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I gave a talk at the home of Stacy Hinchel, who lives in Laguna Niguel. Now, I didn't know her. She was advertising that she was doing different workshops and talking, and I did this talk, and then we hung out for a day. Stacy, are you there? Hello, Stacy.
When I'm here, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Hi.
So, you remember that talk I did at your house?
It was amazing. It was really, really potent. You could feel the divine. It's like a million thousand stars in the sky. You could feel this, I would say, kind of like a divine light, a divine intervention. It was even like, you know, you could say it was cosmic, you know, connecting with all the planetary spheres of the sky and all the stars. It felt like they were connecting with us and aligning with us and communicating. It was really, really beautiful and really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very potent.
Well, I did that talk, and that was one of my... Did I talk about my Elohim experiences there, or was I just talking about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce? Do you remember?
I think you did talk a little bit about we did talk about the Elohim. Yes, you did. And because the energy was so potent, and then there were some things on the reincarnation of education. There was a blend of both. That's what I remember. But the energy was most powerful. It was literally like, I don't know how to say this without saying it, but you know that the energy was completely elevated to a very high state of interconnected peace and love and this feeling included in a part of everything, like a part of the whole universe.
So I lost track of Stacy after all of that. I mean, I was busy doing all these talks, little workshops everywhere in Southern California. And in fact, as I mentioned in those emails through Sam and Roy, that I had done talks with both of them in the very early stages of this. And Stacy was after that. But recently, somehow, synchronistically, Stacy and I got together again. We got together on the phone. And I invited her to Whole Planet Healing. And she did this beautiful little channeling. Well, I don't know if I'd call it a channeling. She did a group meditation, bringing the energies in. And I have come to the conclusion that Stacy, she'll be married now, but I'll say it, Stacy is most definitely an angelic being in this realm. And when she does these things, she brings in all these angelic frequencies, and she helps set the tone for the rest of what happens. So I invited her in tonight. She comes, you know, she just comes when she wants on Whole Planet Healing. She shows up and I let her do it. And Jim McCarty shows up on Whole Planet Healing, which this is Whole Planet Healing. This is not a normal Whole Planet Healing. But he comes on Mondays and Thursdays and reads short excerpts of his channeled material. And then we do a group visualization to clear the planet. And we've had miracles in doing this. We actually, I don't even know all the things that happened as a result of it, but I'm almost certain we had a hurricane reduce its intensity when it was supposed to hit full force. And I only quote that one because I'm almost certain that happened. It's hard to know what we do because we cover so much territory. We're not going to do it tonight because we're already taking a lot of time. But I'm going to turn it over to Stacy to do her little meditation for us. And then, Jim McCarty, are you there?
Yep, I'm here, Rick.
Do you have something, you know, I found a quo session where they were talking about Jesus, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the, you know that one?
Not right of hand, but I've got something similar.
Similar, okay. So Stacy will do her thing, and then I'm going to introduce Jim, and I may let him talk a little bit about the raw contact, because this work, the raw material, Jim has dedicated his life to it, and Clara dedicated her life to it before she passed. And I was so honored to have Carla be my co-host for 5 years, because she's far more famous than I am. And she was in that situation. I was like Johnny Carson, and she was like Ed McMahon. And it should have been the other way around, but that's the way it worked out. So in any case, Stacy, so then Jim is going to read a little bit of something that he's chosen to read, and then we're going to bring Terry on, and we're going to have a live address from my sources. Well, they're not mine, but the ones that have been talking to me. For this Christmas Eve. And Stacy, over to you.
So, welcome everyone. As we're here together, imagine us being in a beautiful circle with beautiful lights all around us, beautiful candle lights, each holding a candle, and the candle represents love, unity, truth, and justice. It represents the home within our heart, the spirit within our being, and the flame that burns brightly within us. And as we slowly breathe in and breathe out, feeling this beautiful candle, the circle of light, the circle of love all around us, penetrating every cell in our body, penetrating our soul, our heart, and our being, and see us all smiling, with the brightness in our eyes, and a knowing in our heart of a higher truth, a higher plane, a higher existence that's always with us, that always moves through us, in every waking hour, in every sleeping hour. And as we coexist on this planet, we create this beautiful energy, this energy of love, this energy of truth, this energy of co-creative, interconnected, synchronicities of truth and light and oneness. And as we do that, we breathe in, and we breathe out, and we allow for the frequencies of this light, this divine ordination, this candle. And as we see each other smiling, holding our candle, knowing we're together as one, we bring this peace, this love, this connection to this earth, remembering peace on earth. And as we breathe it in and out, we see it, we feel it, we know it as though in every step we take, in every breath we breathe, in every smile, in every laugh, in every tear, we feel this peace, we feel this love, we know it. And as our gift to all, to the world, on this Christmas Eve, we see this light burning brightly in our heart and in our soul, and we see it in each and every human being, in our family, with our friends, our co-workers, and our planet, and know that light is within all of us. It always has been and always will be. We just need to always open our eyes very brightly and look really deep inside and see the inner love within. And in that inner love, we know we are loved. We know we are cherished. We know we are held in the divine grace of all there is. With many blessings for a beautiful Christmas and a new year, holding the light in our heart, in our soul, and our being, for peace on earth, in every way, in every day, in our heart and our soul forever. Blessings and love to you are, as you hold the candle of deep love within your heart forever, and peace and light and grace emanates around you and through you, in every day and every way. Many blessings.
Thank you so much, Stacy. And I want to let you know that Stacy has been supporting herself, being a counselor, coach, helping people access these energies. And she works with corporations and fairly sophisticated people and helps them make a deeper connection and do better in their life, their success. And what's your website, Stacy?
They can go to awakeninginnerwisdom or quantumintegrations.com.
Well, which is better, Awakening Wisdom?
Well, Quantum Integrations, they can go. That's my business and my coaching work. But if they just want to call me about anything from spirituality to relationships, business, or some deeper healing work, my number and my email's on quantumintegrations.com.
Okay. Quantum Integrations and...
Yeah, and that has an S on the end of integration, like going into the quantum field of one.
Quantumintegrations.com.
Yeah, quantum field of one.
Okay.
Quantum integration, yeah.
And I will also mention that my website, which I have to redo, is intelligent-infinity.com. It's kind of a hodgepodge. But the one thing that's on there is a free download of a book I wrote when I was about 5 years into my Elohim communications. And I give that book away It has a lot of the original channelings, the early channelings. It has the story of Daphne and Terry, the two women in there. And also, I'll mention that I just recently agreed to be a speaker at the Conscious Life Expo in L.A. And if you're in L.A., I hope you'll come. It's going to be Sunday night at, I think, 8 p.m. I'm the last guy, the last thing, and they said I could go longer. And there's a good chance Terry will be with me. And then on the Monday afterwards, I'm doing one of their post-conference workshops for 2.5 hours. Now, I don't usually charge a lot for these things, but they're charging. And it's good for me to get that exposure. So if you're moved by what we do today, when I do something live, and I just discovered this, the first time this happened was when I had written The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I gave my first talk at a little expo in San Diego. And while I was talking, I could see this light energy in the room. And it was like really, really bright. And I couldn't believe it. I was talking and I was watching this energy, and it was moving around the room. And when I was finished, everyone rushed out the door to buy a Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce book. And Terry was sitting at the table outside. She wasn't in the room. And they were telling her, oh, my God, I could see auras in the room. I could see light in the room. And she said, what were you doing in there? And I said, I was just talking. So later, I did a channeling, and I said, could you explain the energy that was in the room? And they said, that was us. We were helping you. And that blew my mind, because up to that point, I was getting the most extraordinary information. And suddenly, I found that they were like rebroadcasting through me the energies of the higher realms. And I tested that. Every time I did an expo, that would happen. So that will be a real treat, an amazing experience to have to be there and feel that energy. And then I asked them, could I do this on the conference line? Because I just couldn't afford to do all these expos. I wasn't making any money, and I was sleeping in my car. And they said they could do it. So you can pay attention. If you notice, from the time we started till now, if I stop talking, there's energy present. They are on the line. They say they're paying attention to everyone on the line. And they don't intrude, but if you're open to feeling their energies, you can inwardly say, I'm open, and see what happens. And if you just want to keep a distance and you say, I'm not sure I trust this, which is okay, I didn't trust it, then keep coming back and check it out to see if that happens for you, because it's the beginning of an opening up and changing your entire life. And now we're going to go to Jim McCarty. Jim, would you like to share anything about how the raw contact started before you read your excerpt?
Sure.
Okay.
Don Elkins was the questioner for the raw contact, and he and Carla Ruckert, who was the instrument, got together in November of 1968 and formed what is today L&L Research, Love and Light Research. And the first contact they channeled back in those days was a planetary consciousness by the name of Hatan. And it was of the fourth density of the love vibration, and gave the introductory information that they channeled for the next 10 years until about 1978. And at that time, another entity, another planetary consciousness by the name of Latwi,
came through from the fifth entity and began to give information concerning wisdom, intermediate information. And that lasted for, well, it lasted for even beyond the raw contact, but it lasted right up through the raw contact. And the raw contact started about 3 years later. I had met Don and Carla in 1979 and came to their meditations for about a year. We got along really well, and they invited me to join them. So 3 weeks after I joined them, the raw contact started. And all the channeling previous to the raw contact had been conscious channeling. Carla was aware that she was sitting in a chair. She could see the words. She could have stopped it at any time if she wanted to. But when the raw contact started, she somehow went into trance and left her body. We never knew how she left her body. It seemed to have been a gift that she brought with her. But during the raw contact, the 106 sessions we had over just a little bit more than 3 years, she would leave her body each time, and Ra would use it from the inner planes of the earth so that Ra was not actually inhabiting her body, but just using it as an instrument, and would make the words that would... So Don died in 1984, and we knew that it had to have the three of us. The raw contact needed Don, Carla, and I for it to occur. So the raw contact was over. However, 2 years later, we began channeling an entity named Quo, Q-apostrophe-U-O. And this turned out to be a combination of Hetan from the fourth entity, of La Tui from the fifth entity, and Ra in a step-down fashion from the sixth entity of the balance of love and wisdom. So we've been channeling Quo ever since then. We have over 1,500 sessions, and I have a quote tonight from Quo that is from December 20th, 1998. At this time, when the world experiences the shortest of days and the longest of nights, at your Christmastide, your light festival, know that the baby that lies within the manger in the story in your Bible is alive and lying in the manger in your heart. Know that that consciousness of Christ, that the one known as Jesus carried, is carried by others as well. That there are always Christs within your inner planes, those who dwell in that state of consciousness that is so fruitful and helpful for those within the earth plane. But know, most of all, that the Savior and Redeemer of the world lies within the single, unified heart. For each of you has, in perfect accomplishment, the awareness and the ability to be Christed. And as destiny rules, each of you shall be given your times to express perfect love. Back to you, Wynn.
Thank you. Terry, are you there? Calling Terry. Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Okay, just to share a little bit here about what we think is going to happen. And, you know, it's very, very unusual to be able to do this in a public way. And the reason we can do it is because I am good at bringing the group energy together, because all your energies are helping to support this. And both Terry and I have a very high intention to make a contribution to this planet right now. And as you heard, that when we originally started, we were talking to a source that said they were the Elohim, that said they were a group soul at the core of the universe, at the beginning of time, right next to what they call the one infinite creator. So we've had numerous conversations with them about how the universe was created. They explain what they do is they can project light, energy, anywhere in the universe. And it doesn't have to be a situation like this, where someone is channeling them. If they find a group of high intention that's reaching for the higher levels, they can see the energy of that group. They say it penetrates through the veil, and then they add, they can choose to add their energy to that group. And I can relate to earlier times in my life when I used to go to spiritual events in Los Angeles. And there was a period when I went to a lot of spiritual events. And in some cases, I could see that light energy in the room. And I didn't know where it came from. I didn't understand it, but it was definitely there. And that's why I was so surprised the first time that I did that event in San Diego in 2004. And I said, oh, my God, that energy's in the room. And they said that was them. So the Elohim group is different than the Ra group. The information is different. From my perspective and my observation and my understanding, the Elohim group has more ability to project energy than the Ra group does. The Ra group, but the Elohim group has not had incarnations in the physical plane. The Ra group has. They've had multiple incarnations, and they know what it takes to get off the wheel of reincarnation. They know the kind of suffering that can occur in this realm. The Elohim knows it vicariously, and the Ra group knows it experientially. So there's areas where the Ra group has wisdoms that the Elohim group doesn't access. So about 9 years ago, we were going to do a session one evening on a conference call. I think it was a conference call. And Terry was telling me, they said they're going to do something special tonight, but they won't tell me what it is. So I didn't know what it was, so we went and started this session, and they said that they had made a alliance with part of the Ra group. So when they would talk, part of the Ra group would be there, and if a question was coming up that would be better for the Ra group to answer, then the contact would switch to the Ra group. And they made a new name up. They called themselves Ra-An. Ra-An. So the voice you're going to hear tonight is identifying itself as Ra-An. And I have a little invocation of protection that we do. And we do that. What happens is, you know, as if you read between the lines, between what Jim shared and what I shared, when you go that high, either group is very high compared to our 3D consciousness. You pass through a lot of dimensions in the universe where there are negative beings that do not want this to occur here. This is the energy that can actually liberate this planet, potentially. And they can see your soul stream passing through their realms, and they look for opportunities to sabotage it. If you recall when this first happened, the first girlfriend, Daphne, was getting hugely negatively attacked and having panic attacks. And it scared me. I mean, she would wake up shaking. And Carla Ruckert, when she was channeling Ra, she was getting, she didn't call it negative attack, she called it negative greetings. But since there were definitely consciousness that was attempting to sabotage that connection, and she was very stubborn and dogged to say, I'm not going to let this stop. So we do a protection. Luckily, I've had negative attacks, and when I asked them, how do I stop this? They said, dedicate yourself to your highest service, and you'll never lose track of us, and we can protect you. So I took that really seriously, because it scared the hell out of me when it happened. So we do an invocation to bring in a very pure energy, and all of you help, okay? Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, honoring the Christ of energy, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And I turn this over to Terry Brown, who is the vehicle that they're going to speak through.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is real time, the day before Christmas, 2018. It is a time when people get together and they feel the love and the warmth as people share, as people prepare food, as people get together and they share their love with their family and their friends. It is a beautiful time. We see the snow glistening in some areas of the country, crystalline and gleaming in the moonlight. And we, on the moon, meet Moon Venus, send our light to each and every one of you. And we bring Christmas cheer to each and every one of you. It is always a delight and brings warmth to our energy hearts when we are able to share space and time with everyone that wishes to be connected with. Do you have questions?
You know, in the course of all the sessions we've done. A repeating theme is concerning Jesus that the significance of the second coming was that Jesus, or the Christ energy, would be coming into the hearts of those people who were asking for it, looking for it, and that it seems that this is the period of time that that's occurring. Could you share something about that?
Jesus has never really left, and the Christ consciousness is with each and every one of you, and loving and available. All you need to do is open your heart and let it in. The Christ consciousness has never left. It is like what we the Elohim say, we leave, but we do not leave. His energy is here and is available at all times to each and every person. All they need to do is receive it. It is available to all. As far as Jesus coming back in a body and making himself known, we do not see that that is how he is returning. But we do not wish to dampen the spirits of anyone who believes he will be coming back.
There was a recurring theme in the raw material, in our Elohim material, about the idea of graduating this realm. I think the Buddhists call that getting off the wheel of reincarnation.
Yes.
Could you share a bit about how someone, if they want to do that, can do it?
They need to let their karma go. They need to let the tit-tit-tat go. They need to open their heart and they need, give us a moment. Would you again say the question? How can someone ascend and get off the wheel of reincarnation? When someone has not fulfilled their life purpose and has a burning desire to come back, they will come back. If someone is holding back their love and are taking on devious, unethical things in order to survive in the third density, then they will be coming back. When someone has let their attachment to the things of the third density, to the material things, when someone is able to let them go. They may have them, but they are not any longer hanging on to them or desperately seeking to build more empires or more material wealth or material goods. Then they can move on. Otherwise, their attention that they have on these things will draw them back to another life and another life and another life. If one has things they have not fulfilled, and don't feel complete, then it is likely they will come back to attempt to fulfill those things, and this is not wrong. It is the universe giving the person what they are asking for. Are you muted, Lynn?
Oh, yeah, here we go. If a person is just becoming aware that there are an Elohim group and a Ra group, how can they utilize this awareness to speed up their evolutionary process?
Take it slowly and just learn more and learn more and see how you apply it or can apply it in your own life. See of what value it is to you personally and take your time. Do not try to rush through it. That is our answer.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with this group before we end this call?
This contact is a sacred moment in time when it happens, when you bring it in, and when you... The people on the line and the BBS radio listen. It is a sacred moment in time that we cherish. And we wish you the happiest of the Christmas season and the new year.
Thank you very much. And on that note, I'm going to see, if Demetrius, are you on this line? You may have to push star 6 for us to hear you. Calling Demetrius?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Just want to let you know, Demetrius, you know, this whole thing we do is a somewhat, how can I say it, formless. Doesn't have a lot of structure. Except we do a call every night. We have some reading materials, and we have an archive website with thousands of conversations with the Elohim about every topic. And, you know, people decide to do something, and if I feel it's clear, then we do it. Demetrius, every Saturday afternoon, has a discussion group on The Man Who Walked with Jesus, which was Terry Friedman's book about his memories of being Matthew. So if you come tomorrow, we'll tell you more about it. I just wanted to introduce Demetrius. He decided on his own that he wanted to do that. Someone else decided on their own they wanted to be a missionary in Uganda, and they started having little classes on it. this is very rare and very unusual, what we're doing in this realm, and that we're doing it publicly, and anyone can come, go, create their own path, and to a great extent, most of the stuff we offer is no charge. And the same thing for the raw material. Jim McCarty has that same attitude. All of their materials, all their channelings are on the web. And there's vast interdimensional wisdom, knowledge, and inspiration available to you. And I hope some of you will decide to explore it yourself. And keep in mind that on this call you're on right now, every night we do a call at 7 o'clock. We read little excerpts from the Elohim material or the raw material. And I get emails from people all the time who start on those calls and have life changes. So on that note, I thank everyone who was on the call. I thank Jim McCarty. I thank Stacy Henschel. I thank Terry Brown. I thank Prudence, who is greeting everybody. And I think there's somebody I'm forgetting to thank. Who am I forgetting?
Antonio.
Antonio. Antonio, who's greeting people. And I thank all of you for showing up and checking us out. And I thank Sam and Roy for sending an email blast out inviting you. So on that note, I'm going to unmute everybody.
Unmuted.
McCarty.
And we'll see you all next time.